This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Nelvis Trakema is my guest next, president of the Azanian People's Organization. Let's take a break.
You're listening to Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor. 8 p.m. to midnight.
20 minutes past 11 o'clock. Let me invite Nelvis Trakema into the conversation. Nelvis, welcome to Power 98.7. How are you, bro?
Well, not too bad, Denzel. And good evening to you and the Power FM listeners.
Absolutely. And thanks for joining us on such a late time slot. But, you know, the Azapo story is forever and ever and ever going to be an interesting one. And it doesn't really matter where Azapo finds itself in present day historical context or where, you know, what's going to happen. I think Azapo has written itself into the history books of this particular country, stuff that you cannot delete, even if there are sometimes, you know, aspects where people do say, you know, some history, you know, is being erased in this country. I don't think you can erase so easily the contribution by Azapo, can you?
It's impossible. It's not only difficult, but impossible.
I think that's the terminology.
Yes. Mm. It's impossible because, remember, this is a movement that revived the struggle, that reignited the flames of the revolution when organizations like the ANC and the PAC were banned in this country in 1960. And then historians says there was a political lull, and it took the Black Consciousness Movement, of which Azapo is the leading organization, to reignite that struggle. And then everything was set afoot, and then all the organizations were of the people were revived and re-established. SASO of Steve Biko, Union of Black Journalists, you name. And then as a result of that, we had the June 16 uprising. And then even the ANC itself, up until that point, there was nothing happening. And then the ANC had to have the June 16 division, know. And then because it was able to recruit from our movement, you know, the exodus of young people that went into exile. So there is no way you can erase the Black Consciousness Movement and Azapo, because we are entrenched, you know, in the hearts of the people, in the souls of the people, on the lips and hearts of the people, in the minds of the people. We shall always be there for as long as Black people are there.
Nelvis, let me ask you, there's the Steve Biko scenario. Those are massive shoes to fill. There's you know, the time frames of Curtis and Kondo, and from that particular period forward. You're sitting in that position, huge responsibility on your shoulders in today's day and age, and where South Africa finds itself in today's day and age, and the political space, the economic space, the social front, everything. You've got huge shoes to fill.
Absolutely, yes, and that is true. And then it is something inspiring that you have shoes to fill. Remember, in other organizations, there are no shoes at all to fill, you know. And then so we are blessed that we have shoes to fill. And then because we have a movement and a a leaders that did not only live for this country, but they died for this country. If you are looking for a movement that did not only have its leaders taken to jail but killed, you're going to be talking about Azapo and the Black Consciousness Movement. And then that is why even right now you have an organization like Azapo, even when we are the people who fought for this freedom, we are the people who fought for this democracy, and therefore you should have expected under normal circumstances that an organization that fought for something will be there in parliament to ensure that that which it fought for, died for, bled for, it is able to protect. And today you find that many of the people who are in parliament, you know, are people who know nothing, you know, about how this democracy and freedom was brought about. And then the people who brought this thing about are not them. Why is that so? It is because the only route to parliament these days, to the both the provincial and national legislatures, is through money. Money talks. And then for you to be able to make it to parliament, you've got to have the money. And where is the money? The money is still in the hands of the white ruling class. And for you to be able to get that money, you know, you've got to be able to lick the boots of those of the Oppenheimers of this world, the Ruperts of this world. And that is why new organization, you know, with no track record whatsoever and no political, ideological footprint whatsoever, are able to make it straight to parliament. In fact, some of the organizations that you see in parliament and those that have just mushroomed, some of them, in fact, you know, they are, you know, run up front by money. Before the organization has even been formed, the money has been there, you know. And that is why other organizations, even before they've been formed, their organization have been able to pop out 13 million to write biographies for them, you know. You know, the authorized, unauthorized biographies of this world. And that is why we are saying to the people of this country, for so long as you do not have in parliament organizations that fought for this freedom, organizations that bled and died for this democracy, we are still going to have what you're finding in parliament.
Let's talk about political education in this country, because I want to pick up on the train of thought where you start speaking of the kind of individuals you find in parliament, the kind of political parties represented in the corridors of parliament, and then a ZAPO is vacant and absent in those particular corridors. What is it about political education in this country then that deprives people of the historical context of an organization of a ZAPO then? What is it that is lacking there?
Well, it is nothing unique about South Africa. It happens everywhere in the world, throughout the whole Africa. In a situation where you have been having a people fighting an anti-colonial struggle, once those people are able to defeat in some way that colonialism, you find that the immediate thing that happens is that the people, you know, who are now fighting alongside the people now assume the corridors of power. And in the immediate thing that happens is that the people are demobilized, the masses are immobilized, and then you find new terminology, the terminology that now talks about a black people being looked at as the historically marginalized people. You look at a university, black universities being referred to as the historically disadvantaged institutions, when there is nothing historical about that disadvantage, because it is here today. It is alive, it is kicking, and it is killing. And then you find that instead of people talking about the eradication of poverty, we are told about a pushing the frontiers of poverty. So in other words, immediately, you know, there is a new terminology, and the people, you know, in fact are depoliticized, and the people are made to believe that we have now arrived. There is no longer a need for the struggle. In fact, all you have to wait for now is food parcels, and there are people who will come and feed you, and then you need to wait for houses. Everything will be delivered for you. Everything will be delivered for you. And then there is the tyranny of service delivery. People do nothing. And in fact, even where you would expect that in the villages, people would be given the resources to build their own houses, and then you expect that a government will come and do things for the people. And that is why you get all the corruption, because people are made to be dependent on the government. They become so dependent, so helplessly dependent, that there is nothing they're able to do for themselves. In fact, they are so helpless and dependent that they forget that even the clinics that are built, they are built through their taxpayers' money, their own tax. They think that the money is coming from a ruling party. So this is the kind of depoliticization we have to deal with. And then in this country at the moment, money talks. Look at what is happening. You know, people were queuing on the Zondo Commission, and look who was there. It is the same leaders from the same ruling party. And in fact, sometimes we forget, even the media sometimes forget, to call these people out and by their name and by their organization. We keep on, you know, making them nameless as if they are people on the street. No, they are from the same organization, from the same ruling party. And then, in fact, you have a situation where even the presidents of the country, you know, have dollars, and they are stationing in their mattresses and in their furniture, and we are quiet about it.
Then I want to ask you, Nelvis, Nelvis, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Sure. How are you changing that dynamic, Nelvis? And I want to get into the broader issues of ASAPO and the election and the hashtag that's obviously now being created as well, Sign for Biko. But I just want to ask you this particular question. How are you changing that particular space that you've illustrated in, I think, you know, in the last 3-4 minutes, whereby there are food parcels, whereby people do get, you know, sit back and the services will come, and unemployment might not be engaged, but you're beginning to get grants. And people are beginning to buy into that by virtue of how we see the voting pattern then begins to happen. So people have taken, or let me say, political parties have taken advantage of that political space. And that political climate whereby they realize that, you know, people are desperately in need of a 350 grant, and they provide it. And they acknowledge that through that, you know, grant, they then will generate people who would then vote for them. And that, of course, you know, through the grant, you would then get people to vote for you. How do you, as a ZAPO, play in that particular space that's being, you know, developed and crafted and looks like it's working for these individualistic political parties who have now owned that political space? How do you want to do things differently when seemingly it works for them?
Now, the first thing we've got to be doing, as a ZAPO in particular, is to ensure that we mainstream black consciousness. Black consciousness has got to be in the curriculum out there, in spirituality, in business, sports, art, whatever you're talking about, you know, in the spheres of life, it must be tinted with black consciousness. That's number one. And this has to happen through conscientization. Sure. And we need to be able to teach the people that, you know, a democracy and freedom itself, it's not the end of the struggle, but it is only a turn on the road of the struggle. Because once you reach there, you now discover that the road continues in ever so many ways. In fact, hills, valleys, and things. And people need to understand that. And we need to understand that we've got to be careful as a people. There is no way, you know, we can erase, you know, active citizenry. Citizen action has got to be there. There can be no democracy that can be nurtured without active native citizenry. There is no.
Do you think South Africans are there, Nalvis, with the active citizenry? Do you think that they're there?
Not to the full extent that we would have wished, but because this is the struggle, we never give up, because you cannot fool all the people and all the time. There comes a time when the level of consciousness of the people will rise, and that level of consciousness will rise with the difficulties. That is why from time to time you have service delivered protests. That is why from time to time you had Marikana. It's because at some stage the people will rise. And as we are talking now, people gradually are beginning to say, in fact, ASAPO was right. ASAPO was right to boycott the 1994 elections, because there is no land. There was no land in those elections. There was no power in those elections. There was no wealth in those elections. It were given a raw deal as a people. In fact, all that was happening was a situation where you had leaders of the ruling party. I mean, think about it, Denzel. You know, you are somewhere in Zambia, you are somewhere in Tanzania, and then you are told that you come back, and then there's elections, and then with less than 5 years you are a millionaire. Where on earth can that happen? Less than 5 years, you are a millionaire, you know? And then, and we now came to understand all of these leaders were co-opted and they were given shares. Shares by the Oppenheimers, by the way, and they were given BMWs and Porsche air-conditioned offices for them to forget about the people. And some of them, when they died,
with all of that, having said all of that, Nalvis, people voted for them. You know, I mean, people are, and maybe it's the hindsight. Maybe it's what you're talking about, the hindsight. And you're saying now people understand what happened actually at those negotiations, because as I remember it, and somebody who was young and covering those particular negotiations at that particular point, you were invited as ZAPO to participate in those negotiations, but you refused. You also, as you rightly point out, I think, also refused and boycotted the 1994 elections. Do you think, looking back, and let me just underline the terminology, then hindsight. Do you think with hindsight, you should have gotten involved in those particular negotiations at that particular time? And with hindsight, you should maybe have, you know, planted a seed in 1994 with those elections. And because ultimately then it propelled other political, you know, people into those vacuums that existed at that particular time.
We were proud that we did not participate. And in fact, if it in 1994 was to come again, even with that hindsight, we would not participate, because if we did, we would be having a blood in our hands, blood of the people. If we did, our stomachs would be full, you know, with the food of the people. If we did, you know, we would be in jail having embezzled and looted the state resources. If we did. If we did, would be fronting, you know, for the white ruling class, which is hogging, you know, the wealth of this country. I mean, the wealth of this country is owned by less than 10% of the people. You know, and then the rest of the population is poor. You know, the fundamentals of the economy remain where they were before apartheid. There's little or nothing that has changed. In fact, an upward of 33 million people of this country are poor. We're talking about black people. 5 million people, household, I'm talking about households, they are living in shacks. We're talking about black people. You are talking about schools that are still, you know, using big toilets, bucket toilets. You know, you are talking about black children still learning, you know, under trees in a democracy. You are talking about black children dying, you know, in pit toilets. in a democracy, and then we agreed as a ZAPO that we are not, you know, a party to this crime. And so therefore we are proud that we didn't, but that is a price we had to pay. And we are glad that we had to pay that price, because through the price that we paid, people are able to say today, Azapo, you are right. Were you listening to Lindiwe Sisulu saying exactly what Azapo paid for, you know, and saying this constitution is a sell-out constitution, and this constitution has tied the limbs of the people? That's exactly what we paid a price for. She paid nothing for it. In fact, she gained everything. Mm. But as a ZAPO, we pay. But we are saying to you, Denzel, in this struggle, you've got to be patient. 30 years is a very, very, very small time. Mm. And I'm telling you that lives have got short legs. And in no time, you're going to see what is going to this country.
Sure.
And that is why right now, as people more and more are beginning to embrace Azapo, despite the fact that Azapo is not in any legislature, people are beginning to embrace the truth that Azapo sacrificed for. And we're saying to you, we are going to be patient. We're going to be here. When they go to jail, we're going to be here. You know, when they are lynched by the people and the people rise against them, we're going to be here. And Azapo will provide the alternative. And we're going to be patient.
Nelvis, I want to read you something that's come through from the Eastern Cape, Rebecca. Azapo needs to rescue this country from corruption. I will definitely sign for Biko. We need credible leaders, and that's Wija in Rebecca. Let me take Brian in Bryanston. Brian?
Hi, Denzel. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. How are you, bro?
I'm okay, thanks.
Lekker, man.
Denzel, issue with the current situation and then what your guest is saying in terms of the stand in Azapo is that I believe that they are missing the opportunity for them to become an alternative. Because besides them boycotting the elections in 1994 and whatever, I believe by now they have identified, I realized that the country is in shambles, and everybody who's a voter actually needs an alternative. I was expecting Azapo to come in as very aggressive to become that an alternative. But now, if they are saying they have to wait, even myself, I must confess that I'm an ANC member and then I've been voting for an ANC, but I'm also looking for an alternative. But now, with him being there, the your guest being there, it does not even convince me that much today to say maybe on next day's election we should give chance to, you know, to Azapo as an alternative. We have a situation currently in Hammanskraal, where 21 people, when I checked last, it was
21 people
that they have. And Azapo is nowhere to be seen. What critical in this political space now is that you cannot leave a vacuum to the vultures so that they can then come in and claim to be helping, whereas they are actually failing.
They're picking on their own bones
Exactly. So I want to pose this question to your guest, that does he not see that this is the right time for Azapo to stand up and become an alternative to the 53 millions or the whatever millions that are actually looking for an alternative out there?
Sure. Brian, can I ask you a question, Brian?
Yes.
So they'll stand in next year's election. They'll contest next year's election. Are you saying that not necessarily is a place that gives you an alternative? The fact that you might find them on the ballot paper doesn't necessarily provide for you them as an alternative. You need more.
Denzel, what is key in this current situation that you are faced with? Mm. It's a party that will bring a total political shift to our current situation that we are faced in the political policies that the ANC have found themselves into. And if you have a political party in this country that says, as much as they're talking about black consciousness and then all that, they're talking about education of that, where and how are they going to educate those voters to make sure that they vote? Black consciousness has been talked about in so many. We have celebrated Steve Biko and then all that, you know, throughout the years. But now the fact is, how does AZAPO put their policies on the table and make sure that they convince an ordinary citizen of this country to say, look, you have been through the DA, you have been through the EFF, you have been through the ANC or Inkatha or whatever party, here we are, and then this is what we're giving. And then I believe that this is the right time for them to do that, other than waiting for the announcement by IEC of the, you know, national elections, and then you find them in the ballot paper. But actually being there on the ground where there are issues and the problems that are, it is right for the for your guests to say, most of the parties that have been formed in this country currently are actually parties that have been prepared even before they were launched. You know, there were monies that we have put in through, and then all this, you can see it in what is happening in Action SA currently, and then all that, that, you know, it was just a mirror of a DA party or whatever. But what is it that the AZAPO is saying to us, and it convinced us that much to say, vote for us, and then this is what we are going to give you. Gotcha. And then not just to say, let us be on the ballot paper and then people will vote for us.
Got you, Brian. Brian in Bryanston. Lennox in Sasselburg. Lennox?
Good evening, Denzel, and to the tower there.
Sure, man.
Yes, I'm very happy that you've got the tower today. Because, I mean, there was a very nice pronouncement made about last week or 2 weeks back, which had to do with the collaboration that's going to be there between...
And I'm coming to that, because that was the PAC 3 weeks ago.
That's correct.
Talking about something that actually, you know, has been on the cards since last year when they started talking about this particular aspect. And I want to get to that particular place as well. But you've brought it up. But Lennox, is that the question?
No. Beyond that.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. And I also want to say to the tower that this is the most opportune moment. Because when you're talking about black consciousness, looking at the composition of new introductions that we have, like he has lamented now, black consciousness is the life support that is actually needed to come into the fray. Because our people are also beginning to be of the thought that apartheid was better, and they see alternatives, you know, in organizations that are pushing the Western agenda. And we have got new entrants that do not come along with ideology, but just reactionary, meaning to say there is no destiny, you know, in terms of what we have set out, you know, for ourselves as black people to see ourselves better tomorrow. And the one particular thing that can be probable or rather the most meaningful, the most meaningful journey, or rather, let me say, the most meaningful thing to do will be to ensure that we have got a party that has got, you know, ideological principles that will help our situation as the black and not treading us back. Thank you.
That's Lennox in Sasselburg. Now, Elvis, you've got two individuals there who would vote for you tomorrow as an alternative, but just. They really, really asking for an alternative, not somebody just on the ballot box.
Hey, that is AZAPO that is on the, as the alternative. We don't only need to stand up. Brian says we must stand up. We are, in fact, running. We're not standing up. We stood up long time ago. We are running. But just to help Brian, The revolution will not be televised. Today, you know, ASAPO comrades were there in Amanskral engaging the community there, you know. And then, in fact, it does happen that these things are not captured on television, and then that's what it is. But it doesn't matter. But we are there. The people know that we are there on the ground. Let me just remind Brian. You know, in the beginning of the year, you remember the Benoni racist, I just forget the name, whether Margot or something, you know, it was on television and radio, everything. It was ASAPO that was the first to jump and chase that racist, you know, who was saying that black people are dogs and things we must be. It was ASAPO, it was on television, it was all over the media, that was ASAPO. And if you're talking about the racists in Bloemfontein, it was on television, it was on radio, it was ASAPO that dealt with that. Just a few months ago, and it was ASAPO that dealt, that was the first to deal with the NERSA issue. It was ASAPO. You know, our comrades occupied the offices of NERSA. There was a seat in there. It was ASAPO. Even that, it was ASAPO that was on the march. Well, Brian did not see all that, you know, but sometimes we miss them. All I'm saying is that we are not standing up. We are running as ASAPO. We are the alternative. Okay. And again, come 2024, ASAPO is going to run in these elections. And we are not going to beg anyone. We are not even complaining about the rules and whatever. We are just standing. You know, we just talked about the campaign we launched this morning, the sign for Biko campaign. We are saying to the people, remember, they are making their life so difficult for ASAPO because we are still Biko, because we have black consciousness. And they are saying, unlike other political parties, for ASAPO, ASAPO needs to have 107,000 signature vote. So we need your vote, your signature vote, Brian, because for ASAPO to qualify to contest the 2024 elections, we need the signature.
These are the new stipulations. Brian.
Yes, it's a new electoral amendment.
Yeah.
It is saying if you are not represented in parliament, you must
those are the requirements.
Have a signature vote. For the requirements.
Nelvis, the PAC...
So Lennox, thank you very much, my brother. Lennox, that's the way it is. We are here for you. We are going to change this country. You and I and ASAPO, we are going to change this country.
Let's bring that aspect of the PAC. You know, people got really, really excited when they saw, you know, the two groupings begin to talk to each other, because I think the PAC and ASAPO are, when I look at the political terrain and the historical context, I look at those two and I say, you know, they could in essence be one. You know, they're the closest to what one could look at as black consciousness. Where is that conversation? Because Lennox is right. About 3 weeks ago, you know, the president of the PAC was talking about and saying he's ready for these conversations and negotiations to happen between themselves and ASAPO. And he said what needs to be done is because it's two individualistic parties, you know, decisions need to be taken at that particular level. But these are conversations whereby late last or last year already you've been sitting at the same venue, press conference venues, you've been talking about it, and 3 weeks ago, PAC raises it again. You're campaigning here for the Sign for Biko campaign to run as ASAPO in the election next year. Have those talks, negotiations, in essence, not really worked out, and the PAC and ASAPO are going to be running as two individualistic parties next year?
No. It's not just talk. It's not just talks. It is action on the ground. In February last year, ASAPO and the PAC forged a cooperation to work together.
Yeah.
And we started as early as February. We've been running together on the ground, fighting alongside the people in the villages, you know, in the townships, on the streets with the PAC. We are there. And we've been, even when we go to commemorations, we go there together. Because the PAC and Azapo represents the unity of Sobukwe and Biko. The PAC and Azapo represents a gun and a bullet. If you separate the two, your gun is useless.
How, Nelvis, are you going to present yourself to the constituency? How are you going to present yourself as two separate political parties who are working together under an agreement? How are you going to present yourself to the constituency?
That is the new discussion that has started. That's the new discussion. But working and fighting together, we've been there since February last year. The new discussion now is a looking at the possibility of doing it together with the PAC and looking at the modalities, you know, the legalities and all that and the possibilities. Remember already there are complications that Azapo is outside Parliament as we are talking right now. We are affected by the Electoral Amendment Act. And now we are now having discussions with the PAC about what are the possibilities of working together. Because there are so many, many, many ways in which we could do it, and most of them are difficult, but we need to find the better way to do it. That's what the discussion is on about right now.
Let me bring...
Whether
that's going to happen is a different thing, you want to say?
How that is going to happen, it's a matter for discussion.
Sure.
It is how, for instance, we are supposed to meet and then a look at the technicalities involved and invite our technical people to look at what are the legalities involved, what are the technicalities involved, because it is not as simple as that. It's a very, very difficult way to navigate. But that's what we are busy with right now. It remains to be seen what we are going to get out of that process.
Let me bring Letlokgonolo and Katlehong into the conversation. Letlokgonolo?
Good evening, David. How are you?
I'm good, bro. How are you, man?
No, thank you. And thank you for bringing in the gentleman from Azapo.
Sure, Chief.
Yeah, the only thing about these political parties, especially those two that we're currently discussing on, the unity among themselves is very key. You know, Azapo, its relevance has always been astounding. It has been there. However, when you have fractures within your top leadership, there's no way in which you can appeal to us, because if you can master that art of unifying first you in the family, then there's no way in which you can come to us. And partly, maybe they have to sort of, I would say, they need to bring in new concepts into their political ideologies, because you cannot be talking of black people in a country which is trying to build itself into a nation like South Africa. We have so many nations. We have so many formations of different cultural groupings. And then you steadfastly stick to the issue of black people, as if black people are the only component in South Africa today. So you need to transcend those obsolete ideas and begin to appeal to us. And secondly, the other issue which is of most importance to me, because we are in a trajectory where there is the poor and the rich, basically would always tell it in terms of the capitalists and the working class. When they talk the people. Who are these people? Are we talking of the people generalistic to say it involves everyone? Because if you look at the composition of Azapo itself, I want to be honest with you. These are people who are highly educated. They've got, and they come with that concept to say your survival in politics is based on your educational background, which I do not disagree with. I agree with, because without education, for you to be able to conceptualize ideas, you have to have a certain background of education. However, You need to talk to people with the language that we all understand. Bread and issue butter.
Gotcha.
Bread and issue. Because you cannot be talking high and whatever and whatever and whatever. Whereas what we are seeing now in the discourse in the country today, the ANC might have fed well somewhere, which is why people would still go along with it. But with the corruption that is rampant in the organization itself, it's then that people feel that, what is the worth? What is it worth? Because politicians are the same, which is now, if they can tell us, they say, we are different. I'm staying in the township because he says that in the township, but where I'm staying in Katlego, I can tell you there's no Azapo, and there has never been one for some years, except in the 80s and 90s, late 90s.
Letlhogonolo, let me leave it there because I have to give Nelvis about 3 minutes. Nelvis, Letlhogonolo making some really, really interesting pointers there.
What makes us uniquely Azapo is because we are not afraid to speak the truth. If we go to the township and we find black people only, we will say these are black people. If 50% of the people in this country are unemployed, they are black people, we will not say it's a rainbow, we'll say they are black people. If it's the black people who are living in the shacks, we'll say they are black people, not a rainbow. So we speak the truth there. And then when it comes to the issue, you know, of Azapo taking the struggle forward, that we are going to do. We presenting Azapo as an alternative in this country. And then we are saying to the people, the Azapo that you are having right now, of which I'm a leader, maybe people may not know, this leadership is a young leadership. It's a new leadership. All of it. And so we are saying to the people, as against what Lehonolo is saying, that Azapo is highly educated, for which we do not apologize, but we are also saying there is no language in this country, in Azania, that is simpler than black consciousness. Because we believe and we subscribe and we sell black consciousness, and black consciousness is the attitude of mind and the way of life of the black people. There is nothing you need to interpret there. There is not, because it is their language. It is who they are. That is why even right now I am saying to you, Azapo will not beat about the bush. If we go to the shacks and we find no white person there, we are not going to say it is a rainbow people who are living here. We will say it is black people. And then it is black people that must be saved from living in shacks, because that is undermining their humanity and their dignity as a people, which must be restored. And we are going to say Azapo is going to lead that struggle. And we are going to say come 2024, Azapo is going to participate in those elections. We don't care how difficult they make it difficult for Azapo, who will participate. And we believe the people know us. We've been there in 1976. We've been there before. We've been there before. And we shall be here now and hereafter. We will go to Parliament. If we have to go beyond Parliament, we will take the struggle even beyond Parliament. Because as Azapo, we believe the struggle should not be surrendered to the public representatives in Parliament. That's a huge mistake. The struggle is in two sides. The struggle is in Parliament, but also on the street, in the villages and the communities. It must be the people in the villages and the communities that must set the agenda for the public representatives in Parliament. That's the belief for Azapo.
Nelvis Trikema, it's a pleasure,
so
sir.
Much,
and I must bring you back. I must bring you back, Nelvis.
You need me. You can't survive without black consciousness. You've been having all these type of things you've been having, but you've been missing black consciousness. Thank you very much.
I've got to bring you back, Nelvis. I've got to bring you back. The conversation is not finished yet. Thank you so much, sir.
All the time. Thank you, Ben Denzel.
Thank you. That's Nelvis Trikama, president of the Azanian People's Organization.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.